out of the anti-white system and tune in to the pro-white system at radioarian.com.
Hello and welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Wednesday, the 30th of January, 2019, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, broadcasting at radioarian.com. Well, it seems like January has just flown past. We had some votes last night in the Houses of Parliament on various amendments to May's Brexit plan. Most of them were actually thrown out, which was very pleasing to see. Amendments trying to extend Article 50, stay within the EU, all that sort of thing. So that was good. And then there was an amendment that wanted to scrap the idea of leaving the EU with no deal, leaving on World Trade Organization terms, which is basically what the British public voted to do in the referendum. And that one actually passed. But these amendments aren't legally enforceable. And it does seem to me that that's actually Theresa May's best bargaining chip. That's the threat that she can threaten the EU with, is that we will leave on WTO terms, which means that the EU doesn't get any money, doesn't get their 39 billion, and they lose out. So hopefully she won't enact that, and she's going to go back to the EU and try and renegotiate her plan. And of course, the EU have said there is no more renegotiation. So we could still leave on WTO terms, which is, of course, what I'm hoping for, what I think most Brexiteers are hoping for, and what most nationalists are hoping for. Anyway, we're not going to get into the EU stuff today. We've had enough of that, I think, over the last couple of weeks looking at Brexit. What we're going to be looking at today is a disgraced Labour MP who just happens to be black. She's actually Nigerian. And Nigeria comes in the most corrupt countries of the world list. The least corrupt country in the world is at number one. That's Denmark. And the most corrupt country in the world is at 180, and that's Somalia. And Nigeria, which is where this MP comes from, is 144. So it's a very corrupt country that she actually comes from. And surprise, surprise, she's actually been corrupt in Britain. The magic soil didn't prevent her from falling to temptation to lie in court. Being a well-known MP, being a very well-off and in the top 5% of black Britons didn't prevent her from lying in court and trying to get away with a very simple crime. It's not like she was accused of doing anything serious. It was just a speeding crime. It would have just meant 3 points on her license and maybe a fine. But she decided to lie anyway and pretend that it wasn't her. And I think this is because that they just have the tendency to do that. This is why four times as many of them get charged with crimes than white people, just because they have a tendency to commit crimes. And it doesn't matter how rich they are. You can't say that poverty causes blacks to break the law, because it's rich and well-off and well-thought-of blacks that break the law, just as much as the ones at the bottom of the food chain do. Disgraced Labour MP Fiona Onosanya has been urged to do the decent thing and resign after she was jailed for 3 months. The 35-year-old was found guilty of lying to the police to try and dodge a speeding ticket, but has so far refused to step down from her Peterborough seat. So she's still claiming the wages for being an MP while she's in jail. Her constituents could force a by-election if 10% of them sign a petition which is triggered automatically by the prison term. But the petition cannot begin until Ona Sanya has appealed against her conviction, which could take months. I mean, on what grounds is she going to appeal this? Ona Sanya, who has been expelled by the Labour Party, will continue to draw her £77,000 salary in prison if she does not vacate the seat. Parliamentary rules dictate that only MPs jailed for 12 months or more are automatically forced to step down. After the jail term was announced, some of her constituents took to social media to demand their MP's resignation. Stephen Farndale tweeted, "And to think at Fiona Ona Sanya MP is supposed to be my MP. The sooner the bloody liar steps down and stops taking taxpayers for a ride, the better." Another Twitter user said, "Labour have already sacked her, as will the constituents of Peterborough. Get the liar out of Parliament." And don't forget, these MPs are supposed to set a standard. They are supposed to be highly moral, basically. They're supposed to set a good standard for others to follow. And she's been lucky enough to be elected as a black woman. And instead of setting a good standard, she's just lied over a really trifling matter. Both Labour and Conservatives joined constituents urging her to do the decent thing and step down. A Labour Party spokesman said she had let the voters of Peterborough down and should have resigned as soon as she was convicted in December. He said, however, today's sentence gives Fiona one last opportunity to act honourably and resign from Parliament. She should do this without delay and not take another penny in salary from the public purse. She's obviously decided not to because she's appealing. She thinks that she is innocent in this. David Zeichner, the Labour MP for Cambridge, admitted his party had been forced to rush through Ona Sanya's selection during the snap election campaign in 2017. He said Ona Sanya had been chosen as Labour candidate in a shortened process when the Prime Minister called a snap general election in 2017. What does that mean? Well, I would guess that that means that she was shortlisted because she was black and because she was female and because Labour wanted to show that they're not racist and they've got black female MPs, so they shortlisted her in a constituency that was obviously going to vote mainly for Labour. And it didn't matter who they would have put in there, she still would have won. And this is what happens when you have diversity quotas. You don't have people that are most qualified for the job getting the job. You get people that get the job simply because they're black. And this just reminds me of something else. The news story that we covered a while back in South Africa with the diversity quota for the doctors, where they said they needed 100 doctors and they were only going to accept black doctors and white doctors need not apply. No black doctors applied because none of them were actually qualified to. None of them had the qualifications required. So what are they going to do? Well, they will drop the standards required for doctors to apply. They drop the standards for doctors. And what they've done here is they've dropped the standards for an MP to be an MP just so that they could get this black female in. And what does she do once she's in? Well, she breaks the law and then lies about it. Earlier, Ona Sanya became the first sitting female MP to be jailed. Well, there you go. The Negroes have finally been first at something. They finally set a record. First female MP to be jailed. After lying to investigators when a car was caught doing 41 miles an hour in a 30 mile per hour zone in July 2017. It's really not that serious a crime, just a speeding offence. So why would she lie about it? Why would she lie about it? It just shows you that if it had been something more serious, she would have lied about that as well. The judge told her, it is not one law for those in a position of responsibility and power, and another for those that are not. She has refused to apologise since she was convicted at the Old Bailey last year, and in an extraordinary outburst, likened herself to Jesus and Moses. Well, the press obviously think it's extraordinary. I don't think it's extraordinary for Negroes to make outbursts like that and claim they're like Jesus or Moses when they're in the dock. They all put on quite a performance trying to convince people that they're actually telling the truth. They don't really understand why people should tell the truth. It's not a concept that features in African culture, the difference between truth and lies. And the first time I realised this was watching a Louis Theroux documentary. And I wasn't a nationalist at the time. And it was something to do with Africa. I think he was out in Lagos. And I noticed that these Negroes were just lying. They were just lying to one another, lying to their friends and being quite open about the fact that they were lying because they were going to, they thought that they were going to achieve something by doing so. They thought they were going to acquire something by lying to their friends. And I just thought, is nobody noticing here that these guys don't have any respect for the truth? They don't seem to know the difference between truth or lies. And don't they understand that they're really just lying to themselves? And if they boast to their friends about having something that they haven't got, they still haven't got that object that they boasted about that they have. Well, what difference does it make? Don't they understand that they're just cheating themselves? And this was a long time before I was a nationalist. And I really should have thought more about it because maybe I would have turned my life around and become a nationalist well before I did. I'm sure some people must have woken up watching Louis Theroux among the Negroes. But this Negress politician, she likened herself to Jesus and Moses when she was in the dock. She put on quite a performance. Jailing her today, Mr. Justice Stuart Smith said he had taken into account that the MP suffers from multiple sclerosis and that her career was over. Well, that's very sad. Certainly wouldn't wish that upon anybody. Multiple sclerosis. It shouldn't mean that if you've committed a crime, it's an excuse to lie about it, though. It is a tragedy, he said, that you find yourselves and here in this predicament. But it is a tragedy that you have brought upon yourselves, he added. You have not simply let yourself down. You have let down those who look to you for inspiration, your party, your profession, and Parliament. Her lawyer, Christine Agnew QC, told the court she will inevitably be struck off as a solicitor. Her life as a politician and as a solicitor have effectively come to an end. Well, why did she do it then? She knew what she was risking, yet she still did it. Again, this plays into this phenomena that actually David Lammy identified in his Lammy report, that Negroes will always plead innocent. Even when they are obviously guilty, they will always plead innocent. Now, why is that? Why is that when they know that they're guilty, they know that there's lots of evidence to show they're guilty, why, 9 times out of 10, will they plead innocent? Is it because they don't understand the legal system? And they don't understand the difference between it? And they think that magically they might be found innocent? That they don't understand that the jury is actually weighing up the evidence. Of course, they pretend they understand, but quite clearly they don't if they always plead innocent when they're obviously guilty. Do they think that there's going to be a supernatural intervention that's going to find them innocent? We have yet to identify why this is. David Lammy couldn't work it out. The point that is cried out from this case from the outset, why on earth put everything at stake for the sake of, at most, 3 penalty points and a fine? That's what her lawyer said. Ona Sanya plotted to dodge penalty points with the help of her brother Festus, who admitted perverting the course of justice and was jailed for 10 months. And her brother Festus was also prosecuted for selling drugs at a festival. He was a drug dealer. And there's a picture of him in the article. And it just looks so ridiculous. He's wearing a baseball cap with "rich" written on the baseball cap. And can you imagine a white person ever being so desperate to impress upon people that he was financially well off that he would print "rich" on his hat and walk around with it? And blacks are so desperate to impress people with their material possessions. And the reason for that is because they don't understand spirituality. Yes, they like to dance around. They like to play the drums. They have their churches where they wail and rock around and again put on a great performance. But they don't really understand the difference between body, mind, and spirit. A white man knows that to be spiritually well off is far better than materially well off. If you are spiritually well off, it doesn't matter what material possessions you have. You're going to be happy. You're going to be contented, and you are going to be a blessing to everyone around you. If you're not spiritually well off, it doesn't matter how many material possessions you have. You are still going to be depressed. You're still going to think that you're hard done by and that you need more. Yet blacks love to wear their wealth. They love to wear their gold and their bling and their chains, and they want to show off how much material possessions they've got. These are huge differences between the white race and the black race here that are obvious just from the external appearances, the cosmetic appearances, the accessories that Negroes use. And what happened here with the case? First off, her brother said that he would say that he was in the car. And then they said they would say that their lodger was in the car. They were going to blame their lodger, who may have been a white man. It was discovered that he was actually in Russia visiting relatives when the car was caught doing the speeding. I think you can actually see her in the picture of the car as well. So they thought they would blame somebody else and that he would take the rap for it. And of course, they were caught. So it was both her and her drug dealing brother that were committing perjury, basically, and lying to the court. An appeal will add to the public bill for the case, which has already involved court costs of £500,000. £500,000 this Negress has cost the British public already, and she's still being paid £77,000 a month while she's in prison. The court was previously told that she was sent a notice of intended prosecution to fill out, but it was sent back naming the guilty driver as Alex Antipow, an acquaintance of her brother Festus, who is away visiting his parents in Russia. See, she needn't have even been in court. This is the thing. She just filled out the form saying it was somebody else. Festus pleaded guilty to 3 counts of perverting the course of justice over speeding, including over the July the 24th incident. In the wake of the guilty verdict, Onesanya was expelled from the Labour Party and has launched an appeal against her conviction. Onesanya had previously indicated that she intends to stay in the House of Commons, writing in her column in the Peterborough Telegraph that constituents should rest assured that she would remain their representative fighting injustice in the corridors of power. From within her prison cell, I guess, looking through the bars of the window. Once again, the magic Negro that gets presented to us as the shining example of what Negroes can achieve actually turns out to be just the same as the rest of them. It's like the first Negro female judge that we had that was supposed to be so wonderful. She went down in corruption as well. She disappeared in a cloud of corruption. And now this black female MP, she's gone down in a cloud of corruption as well. They like to portray them as being a big success because they think that that will inspire other Negroes to be successful. But as we hear here, the only reason she was actually in this position is because she was on a diversity quota. She wasn't there through merit. And because she wasn't there through merit, she was corrupt. And her corruption has been exposed through a simple speeding fine. It would have just been a simple speeding fine. Now it's a prison sentence. Well, the next news story that I've got for us today comes from Germany. And it's a case of discrimination against nationalist politicians once again. A private primary school in Berlin has been plunged into controversy after it rejected a child because the father is a politician for the Nationalist Alternative for Germany party. School authorities say they feared admitting the child could have caused constant conflict with teachers and other parents, but critics have accused them of punishing the child for the parents' political views. Why should anyone be punished for having an alternative political view? Surely we're supposed to live in a democracy where competing political views debate with one another to get to the best policy, to come up with the best policy, the best solutions. That's the whole point of a democracy. If they're going to be silencing certain views, which is what we have, then we no longer have a democracy. What we have is a tyranny. The child, parents and school have not been named under Germany's strict child protection laws, but the father is understood to be a member of the regional parliament for Berlin. So he's an MP and the school is refusing to teach his son because of his political views. He's an elected MP. He's part of the establishment, part of the establishment of the government over there in Germany. And yet he's still being discriminated against. The school in question follows the Waldorf school philosophy, which rejects traditional teaching methods in favour of more participatory learning. Parents are heavily involved in education and activities under the Waldorf system, and the school said it feared that this could create a constant potential for conflict. Well, obviously the potential for conflict isn't coming from the nationalist politician, is it? It's the other parents that were going to be attacking the nationalist politician. He's hardly likely to be trying to stir up conflict and trouble with the other parents. It's the other parents that would be doing it to him. He's not discriminating against people here. He's not prejudiced against people here. It's the school that's prejudiced against him because he wants to put Germany first instead of everybody else in the world first. Teachers at the school reportedly held extensive meetings with the child's parents at which they were questioned about their political views. I mean, this is just like political police. This is just like the Stasi. It's just like the Soviet Union. We tried to find a consensual solution to the conflict but were unable, the director of the school association said. But critics have questioned whether the school's decision may be linked to an AfD policy which encourages children to report teachers who criticise the party to its websites. So what it really is here is that the school wanted to run down the Alternative for Germany to its pupils. The school wanted to discriminate against this party and teach the children that they should have nothing to do with populist parties, regardless of the fact that this populist party is actually sharing power and is part of the government. German private schools can select their pupils to a limited extent, for instance, to balance gender numbers or give priority to those with siblings already at the school. But discrimination is not allowed. But discrimination goes on, and it is increasing discrimination against white people and discrimination against white people's politics when they want politics that look out for their interests. You know, we have a black caucus in America. We have the British Board of Jewish Deputies in Britain. We have the Jewish European Union something or other. I can't remember the exact title of it. All these minority groups have their own advocacy groups. White people don't. The Alternative for Deutschland is advocating for Germany. They're not even advocating for white Germany. They're civic nationalists. They're advocating for all German citizens. and still they're discriminated against. We can't have that. They have to be investigated by the special political police of Germany. Even when there are assassination attempts on them and their offices are blown up, it's not the people that do the blowing up and the assassination attempts that are investigated. Oh no, it's the political party, the ones being attacked, that are investigated. The school in question is forced to select in practice because it is heavily oversubscribed, with 140 applications for just 30 places this year. But the rejected child was already at the attached kindergarten, which usually makes it easier to get a place at the school. "We really like this school," the child's father told Berliner Kurier newspaper. "How can we explain to our child that his friends can join the Waldorf school next year, but that we are not welcome there?" Discrimination is against whites. Whites don't discriminate against others, especially not on the colour of their skin. We discriminate on merit. And it's everybody else that discriminates against the nationalists due to prejudice, thinking that we're evil people that always want to gash Jews or exterminate Negroes. And that's just not true. We just want to put our nation and our people first. Germany is one of the worst countries in the world to be a nationalist. That's why we should be supporting the AfD. Okay, they're not ethno-nationalists, but just look at all the obstacles they are having to overcome there just to have a civic nationalist party. Just look at this discrimination here. It's even against their children. That's what they're fighting against there. Good on the AfD for getting to where they have. I've got one short news story to finish with, something positive for the day. Italy has seen a radical drop in migrant arrivals in January under the migration policy of populist interior minister and hero Matteo Salvini, down around 95% compared to January 2018. The interior minister compared the approach of the previous government under the left-wing Democratic Party of January 2018 with the populist coalition of the Five Star Movement and the League with Salvini, saying, "The data shows that the Democratic Party had not blocked arrivals," Il Giornale reports. The official data showed that 3,176 illegal immigrants arrived in Italy in January 2018 under the leadership of the Democratic Party, which had told Italians they were actively working to reduce the number of landings and have reduced the number somewhat compared to 2017. Much of the credit for the reduction of illegal migrant arrivals rests on the policy of Salvini, who last year told migrant transport NGOs that they would not be welcome to dock in Italian ports and drop off migrants in what many referred to as a taxi service. "For the first time, returns are superior to arrivals," Salvini said, following the release of the new statistics. After closing the ports, Salvini and the Italian government have focused on increasing deportations and as a result have seen more deportations of radical Islamists than any other country in Europe in 2018. While the number of migrants has been significantly reduced both in the Mediterranean and on the land border with Slovenia, the migrant transport NGO Sea-Watch has continued in its attempts to land in Italy, with their vessel Sea-Watch 3 currently off the coast of Syracuse with 47 invaders on board. Last week, Salvini ordered Italian authorities to investigate the vessel and the NGO and demanded that the Dutch government take in the migrants due to the fact that the ship had been flying under the flag of the Netherlands. So it can be done. Salvini has reduced arrivals by 95%, and he's still a part of the EU. Italy is still a part of the EU, and they've managed to stop the invasion and start the deportations. So what is stopping the rest of the countries in Europe doing this? I know most people blame the EU for their laws on this, and the politicians blame the EU, but it quite clearly isn't the EU. If Italy can succeed in doing this, he's had more success than Donald Trump has. Salvini is an absolute hero. Well, it's good to finish on some good news. at last. So thank you very much for listening. I will be back tomorrow with Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson. God bless and hail victory.